This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. To everything, there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. Thank you for turning this morning. You thought he was joking, didn't you? Yeah. So this is a classic scripture. How many of you out there, this is your favorite scripture? Anybody? Yeah, okay. So I want you to come up today. For many, this may not be your favorite, but among your favorite, it's often read at pivotal moments, rightfully so. Certainly as we think about that, births and death, even as it is here, retirements, building projects, even the start of a school year, or the end of the school year, graduation. Certainly not have time to expound on all of these life situation and context that this talks about today. But most importantly, we'd say that these are not random happenings. It's not a matter of fate. It's not a matter of blind circumstances. No, no, no. This is teaching us that life events are held within the timing and purpose of God. And life is filled with meaning and purpose, wonder, and even amazement when we live in the timing of God. And we say conversely to that, as life becomes most difficult, it lacks meaning and purpose. It lacks wonder. And even becomes destructive when we live outside of the timing of God. So the scripture brings several things to mind here about time. And first I want to talk about the measurement of God's timing. Now, each of us have the same amount of time in a day. 24 hours, right? But not all of us have the same number of days on this earth. We often say our days are numbered. Psalm 90 encourages us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. I mentioned in the newsletter this past week that I presided over a service for a prematurely young little girl. She was flighted to the neonatal unit, but only lived for 24 hours. That was a very traumatic experience when I was first started in ministry. And it was difficult and traumatic for everyone involved in that situation, as you might imagine. A death like that is often referred to as untimely because she did not have the normal life expectancy. And not long after that, within 2 weeks of that tragic loss, one of the oldest people in the congregation died. He was 90 years old. He was married for 63 years. And he had lived a full life. And we would say his time had come. And he lived well beyond the normal life expectancy. And it was time, as we say, for him to depart for his life in the glory of heaven. But it was a stark contrast between those two losses and the timing of them. And the scripture that came to my mind as I reflected over the contrast within those weeks, those couple of weeks separated from one another, and how we measure time here. 2 Peter 3:8. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years are like a day. Now that verse emphasizes that we serve an eternal God who exists outside of our human perception and experience of time. And his timing is certainly much different than ours as we calculate time. And that was especially pivotal to me in the context of those couple of weeks there. And as finite beings, we recognize that we are limited in our understanding of how and why things happen as they do. But the scripture does call us and even challenge us, and other scriptures as well, deceiving by eyes of faith beyond the limits that we experience here, and even looking from heaven's perspective, looking from an eternal perspective, again, which is difficult to do in the emotions of those moments. But the reality is that whether we live to be 90 or more, or only one day, in the scope of eternity, all of time here is very brief. Scripture teaches us that life is as a fading flower, the grass that withers, or a breath. But the good news is, in the timing and plan of God, a whole eternity awaits us as the people of God. Yes, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day to the Lord. God's timing is often very different than ours. But more than the measurement of time, there is the meaning of time. The New Testament uses two Greek words to convey different aspects of time. One of those is chronos. It's a word that we use in the word chronology. It refers to chronological or sequential time, like the passage of minutes, hours, and days. Many of you may be watching the clock today. Find out the length of this sermon, right? That's chronology. It has to do with the passage of time. But kairos, or like what someone said this morning, kairos, that sounds really good, like Kairosera. Kairos signifies a specific opportune moment, a season or a critical point in time, often with a sense of a divine appointment or significance. Now, John Blakeney talked about Kairos ministry last week, and he indicated that was God's time when that event took place. Now, it takes place over perhaps an extended weekend in chronos time. But we can say in God's time and Kairos time, there's a sense of eternity that is contained in that chronos time of that extended weekend. Another great part of this teaching is there is a timing and rhythm that God has placed in the creation. We see that timing and rhythm in most all vital experiences in life. Everything around us, when you think about it, even the spinning of the earth on its axis, and the timing of all of those things that sustain life here on this earth, but everything around us will only work properly if it is done in the right time. Now, most of you drove here this morning. I doubt that any of you walked here. But most of you drove here this morning in your automobile. And unless you have an all-electric car, your car has a timing belt on it. There it is. Some of you perhaps didn't know that. A timing belt synchronizes the crankshaft and the camshaft, ensuring the engine's valves open and close at the correct time relative to the pistons. What did I just say? Without that timing belt, your car will not operate. Similarly, if the timing is off on your engine, it will sputter and backfire and lose power and efficiency. If we're not in timing with God, we will do the same. Another example of timing is in music. We sang hymns today. Choir sang wonderfully. But in music, every hymn, every song is written in a certain time. Some are in 3/4, some are in 4/4 time, 6/8 time. Songs can be fast or slow depending on the tempo, but they will not sound correct or as the author intended if they're not played in the right timing and rhythm and tempo. I remember as a child, we had vinyl records. I'm showing my age here with this. Although I went into a store the other day and they are selling record players. And what I understand is vinyl records are making a comeback. Yay, so there it is on the screen. But normally 3 speeds to play those records. Large records, usually 78 or 33 and a third RPM. Or the smaller records you play on 45 RPM. And we used to have fun as children playing those records at the wrong speed. I'm not the only one who did that, I'm sure. And it was a distortion at best. And we used to have so much fun. Even these somber songs, you know, they would sing them and sound like Alvin and the Chipmunks. Fast forward speed. But it wasn't in the timing in which it was supposed to be. It was a distortion, no less. Even though it was funny, it was a distortion. And it's such to say, if we're not in timing rhythm with God, life becomes distorted. Even chaotic. One more example, more serious in nature, how important timing is related even to our physical health. This past week, our secretary, Linda Burr, had a bout with AFib, atrial fibrillation. It's an experience where your heart is out of rhythm. It's beating too fast or slow or inconsistently, and it leads to an insufficient flow of blood through your body. Could cause an increase in stroke, heart failure, and other complications. Makes you feel just terrible. So glad Linda is okay, even with us today. Through her procedure, her heart was put back in correct rhythm. But without the right timing, without the rhythm of the heart and our body, it functions much less efficiently and difficult, and it can even become life-threatening. I find it interesting that timing and rhythm are built into our hearts, into the heart of every person here today. Surely that's a great indication to us about the timing of God, the rhythm of God written into the creation. But what is true in the physical world is also true in the spiritual world. And this relates back to the scripture that God has set a time and purpose for every season, every activity under heaven, and you and I must simply recognize that time and be in sync with God and His timing. But first, I want to look at some people who were not living in God's timing, or maybe were in God's timing and got out of God's timing and purpose in their lives. One of those is Samson. You remember Samson, the He-Man of the Bible. God gave him one of the judges of the Bible. He was sidetracked by Delilah, failed to recognize that God had left him. He was raised up by God in the time of the Philistines and Israel's history. But Samson allowed his personal feelings for Delilah to bring wreckage to his life and put him out of relationship with God. His life became out of sync with God, and the scripture says that he did not even know that God had left him. Sometimes we can allow our personal feelings to override the timing and purpose of God in situations, and our life gets out of sync and out of rhythm and becomes chaotic. Another character that we know perhaps even better is Jonah. Jonah ran from God. Wound up in the belly of a big fish, he referred to as a whale. Jonah was running from the call of God, from the timing of God. He was supposed to go preach at Nineveh. He took a ship in the opposite direction, as we well know. Ended up being thrown overboard, and to spare the ship and the crew, they threw him overboard, and he, of course, was swallowed by a whale. Now, we know that Jonah went on to preach at Nineveh, and they repented, and the city was spared. But he was very reluctant to respond to the timing of God in his life. Some, like Jonah, may run from the timing and purpose of God. I did that for a while, trying to answer God's call in ministry. Glad I didn't get swallowed by a big fish. But I will say that I went through a very dark period before finally responding to the timing and call of God for me. And again, I will say that I know that I'm not the only person that has occurred with or to. That many often run from what they know God wants them to do in certain situations. And their lives are never really in sync, and they lack inner peace, and there's a sense of restlessness. As the great St. Augustine says, we are restless, forever restless, until we rest in God, until we're in timing and sequence with what it is God wants us to do, where God wants us to be. Perhaps the saddest example of people not recognizing God's timing were the Jewish people during the time of Jesus, particularly the Jewish leaders. The Jews failed to recognize the time of their visitation. John tells us that Jesus came into his own people, and they did not receive him. And prior to his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem. And he foretold that that city would be destroyed. And indeed, that did happen in AD 70. The Romans came and totally sacked the city and destroyed the temple. Not one stone was left on the other. So we say here in all of these examples that recognizing God's timing, purpose, and rhythm in our lives is not just essential for healthy living, but it's essential for the mission that God has called and placed in each of our lives. So how do we live in God's time? Thankful, we have a model. And that model is, as Alan said earlier, it's all about Jesus, right? He is our model. Jesus, it is said from the Galatians, that he was born in the fullness of time. The fullness of time is amazing considering all the prophecies that were fulfilled during Jesus' birth. The place where he was born, the time that he was born, in the fullness of time. He was exactly in the place where God had foreordained for him to be. And his life was lived in perfect harmony and unity with the timing and purpose of God. John tells us when they came to get Jesus, to take him, to apprehend him, earlier in the gospel he says, "My time has not yet come." And then later, when he was praying in the garden and was about to be arrested, he said, "My time has come." Now, that tells me that Jesus was in perfect timing with the plan and purpose of God for his life. And he was living in obedience to that. And even in his death and resurrection, it was in timing with what he even foretold was going to happen. It was on that first Good Friday in perfect timing with the plan and purpose of God that Jesus died for the sins of the world, for your sins and my sins. And not only that, it was on the third day. Not the first day, not the second day, but it was the third day that he had predicted that he would be raised after he suffered. It's amazing. You look through the Gospels and you see all the way through them that Jesus was always in perfect timing and harmony with God. Now, obviously, we are not Jesus. But I believe he leaves us a model, an example of how we can be in harmony and rhythm with God's timing in our life. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians, I think he gives us a key here how to do this. He says, "What things were gained to me, those I counted for loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss that I might win him and be found in him." And in his commentary on this, Alexander McLaren says, "You must barter the lower if you want to secure the higher ends of your life in the appointed seasons." And what he's saying here is, every day we're making decisions. Today you're going to be making decisions when you leave this place, what you're going to do the rest of this day. And if you live through the rest of this week, every day you're going to be making decisions. We might talk about time management in this as well. But what he's saying here is, of all the things that you're doing and the decisions that you're making, are you trading up or down in the time that you're spending and the activities you're engaging in life? I've discovered that we tend to put a lot of things on our calendar, more and more things on our calendar. It's crowded. So very often we may be very pressed and stressed and hurrying and rushing to try to accomplish things. But I wonder, in the midst of all of our busyness, are we living in God's timing with the activities we are engaging in life? Kirk Cousins, many of you may know, is a professional football player. He was with the Minnesota Vikings. He is now with the Atlanta Falcons. And I was reading last night that he may end up going to the Indianapolis Colts, such as the life of an NFL quarterback. But now he's with the Falcons. By the way, talking about timing and rhythm, as a quarterback, you have to be in timing and rhythm to be able to throw that football, right? And also, not only to throw the pass, but also to throw it in the right timing and rhythm with a wide receiver that's going out to get the pass. So there's a timing and rhythm that's met even in that, in the sports arena. But more importantly, Kirk Cousins has a jar outside his house that has 720 little stones in it. He's intending to live to be 90 years old. There's probably fewer stones in that now because this story is a little bit older. But each month, he takes a stone out of that jar and he carries it with him everywhere he goes. He learned that from Psalm 90 and one of his Bible teachers. And Psalm 90 that says, "Teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom." And what Cousin says here is, it's about the importance of leaving a mark and making a deposit in people's lives in a way that matters. And what he's saying here is, you have an understanding that life is coming to an end someday. And we only have so many days. And in those days, are we going to live them in unity with the timing and purpose of God for us? Or are we just marking off time and the calendar events of our lives? I think Cousins is reflecting what it means to live in the timing of God. Now, I want to close with a note from the newsletter article that I wrote earlier this week. It said, in our human condition, we live in fragmented time. Our past and our future and our present. We may long for yesterday or for a better tomorrow, but we don't have control over either one of those. Jesus spoke against worrying about the future, knowing God will provide for us as he does for the sparrow. The best we can do is to live in the timing of God with the time that we have. Ever how much time that is. And here's where I think Kirk Cousins had this right. And we live in hope, awaiting the coming of, again of Jesus, when there will be no more fragmented time, no more fragmented hearts. And we long for the day when our Lord will return. And when is he coming? We don't know. It's in his time. No one knows. Only the Father in heaven. The restoration of the creation is going to happen, but it's going to happen in God's time, at the time that he has appointed. And we wait by faith and hope when that day is going to come. We long for that day when all things will be made new and there will be no more fragmented time or fragmented hearts. This is the promise. This is the hope that we have as Christ followers. And through His power and promise, He will make all things new in His time. Hallelujah. Amen.